regularly scheduled Erie Beach Town Council in order, and Reverend Thomas, where are we at? Where did he go? There he is.
Back here, hi.
Thank you, thank you.
Let us pray. The Lord, I ask you, place your blessing on this meeting tonight. I ask that you allow all people here to be attentive to what the council has to say tonight and while they're conducting the business of this great town that we live in, town of Erie Beach. And also ask the council to be attentive to what the citizens have to say. But we're all here tonight for one reason or the other, and that is to make this town that we live in a great and wonderful place. So Lord, lead us, guide us tonight. Let the decisions that are made here tonight be beneficial to this great and glorious town of Erie Beach that you've given us. And I ask this in the Lord's name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks again. Please join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Adoption of the agenda. Request to add the Caroline Kirby Sewer Authority updates to new business. Anything else?
I move that we approve the agenda with Commissioner Hagler's addition.
I have a second. Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Discussion and consideration presentations to council. Now, if y'all don't mind, I'd like Charlie Alley to go first because he has a vision problem and they won't stay out there at night. So, Charlie, can you come up and address this, please?
Thank you. My name's Charlie Alley. My 54-foot Fisher Boulevard is where I live. Here to discuss the handout that you have related to possibly getting involved with Carolina Beach's bike path. The work done by the group was done on very short notice, and we had at the time a lot of preconceived concepts which don't match up with reality, I found out Friday. Going around with Public Works, there was a comment by the group. They suggested that council look into it, but not necessarily suggesting that they become a part of it. What I found out on Friday would strengthen that suggestion or that caveat. Be careful about getting involved with it, because what was down on the paper that you had was related to what we thought was there, and it's not, and it's going to take a lot more work for something like what you have on the paper, our recommendations, to come out. And that's it, and thank you. I don't want to take up the next person's time any more than I have to. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks, Charlie. And John, you know.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Bethany Wendell. I'm an Associate Transportation Planner with the Wilmington Metropolitan Planning Organization. And this is John Allen. He is a member of the Citizens Advisory Committee, who was a group of citizens who helped come up with draft project lists and really helped shape our 2040 Cape Fear transportation plan. The purpose of our presentation to the board today is to inform you of where we are in the development process of our long-range transportation plan for the entire region, and to encourage you and the public to come out, review and provide comments to our draft proposal during the public comment period, April 1st through the 30th. And that will be during public house open house period and on a planned website. We'll let you know all those dates for the open houses and locations. So brief presentation to you today. I'm going to cover the history and responsibilities of your Metropolitan Planning Organization, which covers the greater Wilmington region. I'll talk about the development process of the Cape Fear Transportation 2040 plan and the draft project list and funding proposal for that plan. Okay. So what is a Metropolitan Planning Organization, you might ask? MPOs are local agencies that are responsible for regional transportation planning. So in order to be a part of the federal transportation planning process and to receive those funds, an urban area with a population of over 50,000 people would need to have a Metropolitan Planning Organization. Each MPO has various duties, and one of the most important duties is to produce this long-range plan. As you can see in the map, the region includes various jurisdictions. We've got Wilmington, Wrightsville Beach, Carolina Beach, Curry Beach, Leland-Odessa, Belleville, all of New Hanover County, parts of Brunswick County, parts of Pender County, the Cape Fear Public Transportation Authority, and NCDOT. All these different entities come together to make decisions on transportation in the region. John's going to come in to the next slide.
The plan that we have to build through the Citizens Action Committee that I'm a member of and represent of this town as a member of that does have federal requirements as we build that plan. And you can read them there, and I won't try to read to you, but multimodal, I'll show you another slide in a moment that shows you all the modes that we looked at were required by the federal organizations. We have public comment, stretch it out to 20 years. It is physically constrained. A little bit later in the briefing, Bethany will go show you a slide that has the funding and the dollars for each one of the modes. And this is used as a basis for that acronym there, is the State Transportation Improvement Program or plan. And the current one, I don't know if you can read there on the picture, is 2035, and we are now drafting the plan for 2040, and it's due in December. And as Bethany said, we're advertising, if you will, tonight. There will be public hearings during April, and then it goes into another draft. It gets kicked up to a little more professional staff, comes back to the Citizens Action Committee again. I do have that schedule also.
Sure. So what makes this plan different than a lot of the other plans that come through the region and is that it is fiscally constrained. So while a lot of the citizens came together and we took a public survey and there were many, many projects that were presented to the organization, which is wonderful, but really we have to focus on a plan that actually has fiscal constraints. So we had a prioritization process to determine which projects could be funded, and we're really focusing, this plan focuses on capital improvement projects as opposed to operations and maintenance. So we're really focusing on physical infrastructure. And you can see the various modes here on the screen and the projection of those modes in terms of capital and operations and maintenance.
May I ask a question? Are you going to give us a breakdown of each one of these? Or, because I'm wondering, like on the bicycle thing, where those bicycle paths are located, or has that been determined?
Yes, ma'am. So John Ellen's going to go through an overview of some of those projects, but all of the maps, the entire project list, when they will be in draft form in up on our website, and then also we'll have large pin-up boards at each open house that you can come and find your street and see if there's any type of project happening or proposed project potentially happening in the next know 25 years. So that information will be available.
Just one other question. How did they pick the priorities of funding, the splits between, just for interest?
There was a matrix that was created based on really the goals and objectives of citizens and also subject matter experts in the region.
Here's the schedule. A little bit hard to read, particularly for some in the back. But as we were saying, April, we're here in March, public input and advertisement. We're trying to generate business. If you're really interested, come to the April Open House. There will be one in Carolina Beach, and I'm going to show you this list in the area that you can choose to go to more than one. But April is open houses. May, we revised the plan based on the information we gained at the open houses. Our subcommittees meet again, each one of those modes that Bethany showed you on the previous slide. Another revision in June, final draft in July, and then we're shooting for final approval by the Federal Highway Association there in December of this coming year, for 2015. Again, here are the modes that we analyzed, and we formed into subcommittees of each one of these, and we had a staff member in charge, and then several of the citizens were on different committees. I was on the ferry subcommittee, and I'll give you a little bit about that. One of the first things we did was structure some, a policy statement. What are we going to follow? What are the rules of engagement for each one of these? For instance, in the ferry, one of the policy statements is you have to comply with the United States Coast Guard regulations. The Transportation Demand Management and Transportation Systems Management Programs are official programs run by the federal agencies and the state agencies in an attempt to ease congestion. We've prioritized within particularly the Transportation Demand Management, and there were 21 overall advertisements. I won't run through a prioritization scheme. Won't run through all those, but things such as alternate work schedules, carpooling, putting park and ride locations, paving some parking lots that you could go to do park and ride. Bike and pedestrian was high on that list. In the transportation systems management, that was more of a strategy to reduce the congestion by improving transportation capacity, make it more efficient, more safe, and even help out the environment. Things that are in that particular program, if you will, are traffic signal optimization, having individual or personal control of a traffic intersection, where they have the buttons on the pole so you can stop traffic and cross. Speed limit reductions and the enforcement, of course. Putting in roundabouts, resurfacing the roads because you can travel more efficiently if it's not bumpy and things like that. And put in more turn lanes so people don't get all stacked up. If you have a turn lane, the folks turning can go and you can go on past them. So those are some of the ideas that we use in those two management things. Now we're going to get into each one of those modes. I'll show you a map of the projects. Don't have time to name them all, and the map's going to be fairly small on this. For instance, the aviation projects. Now the aviation projects, and back to your questions regarding the finances, This is 90% funded by the federal. So this is not local, you know, the big number that was on the sheet or the slide with aviation. That's 90% federal funds, about 5% state, about 5% local. The things that came out, as you see there, improvements to the terminal, expand one of the runways, and then some of the safety improvements. There's some pipe ditches that run along up in that area that are not, don't have safety barriers near them and such as that. So that's the aviation. Bike pedestrian, back to Ms. Swearingen's question, you see all those little numbers on there, those are the bike pedestrian things that are draft funded. This is a draft plan. So those all fell above the cut line that we had to draw when we got the money allocated. And when we first started this process, bike and pedestrian had over 900 projects. That got went down to 150. And as you see down in Carolina Beach, Pure Beach, there are a few bike ped improvements. The ferry project, what fell out was an additional vessel and then some additional mooring facility. Our going in position with the folks that met on the ferry project was to create and plan for a water taxi. I think most of us think of the term ferry as driving your car on and getting over the side. But we're excited about maybe in the future having a water taxi. And you would have a mooring facility at Carolina Beach, Riceville Beach, there along the strip in Wilmington, maybe over in Nevada and one in Belleville. And you could jump on a water taxi and ride up to Wilmington, have dinner, see the show, and come back. And one nice thing about that is to ride back, you could sober up, you don't have to drive your car if you partied too hard in town. But the way the dollars were, this is going to be an ongoing project for a long time. But they do need one additional actual vessel that hauls cars, and so that will get funded to support the Southport situation. Freight rail projects, you can see a few just shown there. We look at roadway, rail, and then rail crossings as part of that overall modal. One of the things, too, that all the different modes looked at is how the modes coordinated with each other. Like bike ped, where you're going to have bicycle location, that'd be a nice place to maybe put a parking ride. You could even ride your bike, store it, take a wave on to a further location or something like that. So there was a hard attempt at coordinating between the different modes so that they all interplay together as best you could. Mass transit, the amenities there are shelters. We funded 80 shelters. There's up to 80. There's 18 that exist today. We're planning for 19 crosswalks to be person controlled that I mentioned earlier. The express service, we plan for 2 express routes on Wade up in part of the city. Rather than it stop up, every block or so, you could get on, ride for a long distance and get off. There are 2, the expanded service, the additional service, we're planning on 2 mass transit going to the airport And then one new area extended out Market Street out of Peter County. And then the parking rides, we're planning for 25 parking rides within all of those little dots. Again, as Bethany was saying, these maps will be even bigger and have all the detail with them when you come to the open house. So you can see exactly what is on the funded list and make comments to that. Last one is the roadway. And the things that we looked at is congestion and access, making them safe and enhancing the economy of that. That ties a lot with the mass transit because you use roads for mass transit. But you can see there's a lot of road work that got funded.
I'm just going to briefly, yes ma'am.
When you were talking earlier about the ferry thing, that 90% of it was federal, can you indicate on any of the rest of them where the majority of the money comes from or how it's split?
I can get that to you. We don't have that level of detail with us today, just primarily because of time. But I can get that information for you, definitely.
It was actually aviation.
I'm sorry, that's right, aviation. You guys
keep
redoing the list.
Well, at first we had it in alphabetical order, and now they're done.
What I can tell you is the funding projections were developed from analyzing historical funding sources and annual estimates for each mode and projecting those out to 2040, including inflation. So if we know in the past the state or has put so much money, let's say 96% of that was roadways, we know from historical data and projecting that into the future about how much money is going to go into each pot for each mode. So they are projected estimates at this point.
When would we know if any of this stuff is reality? So that we can plan accordingly. Like if you're going to have a free water tax, it would be made by the state plan for parking.
I'm sure that will come down to the MPO once the projects are underway or starting to become adopted. I mean, each project will still have to go back through, you know, the TAC, which the mayor's on, and you'll hear about all of those when they start to unroll. And we're looking out to 2040, so some of it's quite a bit of ways.
Now, part of the ferry project is also trying to establish, like a partnership between the communities and private enterprise to see if somebody might take that on as a commercial entity to run a water taxi up and down the river.
That's right.
Okay.
All right, we'll wrap this up here in the next couple slides. So really just briefly, the way that we came up with developing the comprehensive specific project list, as I said, we started out with a just total public input. We went out, we had an online survey, we asked people just to come and tell us whatever project they wanted to tell us. We listed all those projects per mode, and we have a full database of that. However, because this plan must be fiscally constrained, we had to actually go prioritize those based on goals and objectives of each community and each member of our CAC. We came up with project estimates for each of those projects, and then we drew a line that said, you know, we can only pay for this many in this priority. So once we had that first line, we then said, well, how about we look at some alternative funding mechanisms? So by adding some alternative funding mechanisms, we were able to increase the number of projects per each modal list. And here's some of the alternative funding mechanisms that are potential. Again, every jurisdiction would have to approve and vote on those, but these are potential ways to pay for some of these projects, and that's local option sales tax, bonds, license tax, vehicle registration fees, vehicle rental tax, and then for projects specific, we've got tolling. Okay. And wrapping up here.
As we've both been mentioning, open houses are going to start. Here is a big pitch to come join us at the Carolina Beach Town Hall on Tuesday, April 14th from 4 to 6. You can do the survey that will be there. You can talk to your local TAC member. We certainly encourage the public to come out and take interest in this. And you can go on the domain name there and fill out a survey or give us your inputs on what you're thinking about the plan. Back to your question, Mr. Blazinski, regarding when can we get excited about something being approved. I mentioned that the final plan is approved in December. So once that's kind of published. And here's some others. You see Tuesday, April 14th there in the middle of Carolina Beach. But there's the other open houses. And it'll pretty much be the same at each open house. So we would like for you to attend one if you can. Members of the board and the council and members of the public. And talk to your neighbors and get a party and go out to one and help us, you know, keep working at this and get the best part of the transportation in this local area. Also, the fact that Bethany and I are presenting to Carey Beach Town Council tonight, the different representatives and one of the staff members have made presentations to the other communities that were on Bethany's, one of her opening slides, you know, Wrightsville Beach, Navassa, Belleville. So all of town councils have had the same presentation. Not done near as well as tonight, but.
I have another question, Bethany.
Yes, ma'am.
I assume the public hearing is mainly to comment on what's on there and it's too late to add any additional projects. Is that right?
That is not correct. There is plenty of time to add additional projects. So what you're going to see at the open houses and on the website, if you can't make it, are lists. And there are two different colors. There's a green that's funded, and then there's red that we were not able to fund. Now you have the opportunity to go on and say, you know what, this red project, I think it should be a green project. And we're open to all of those suggestions at this point in the draft.
Okay, if there's a project that's not on the list at all, green or red, let me comment on this. One of my favorite subjects, and that's shallow draft navigable inlets. And there's one in New Hanover County at Carolina Beach and one in Brunswick County. Okay? And this past week we heard the Secretary of the North Carolina Department of Transportation and the Governor's Assistant for this area of the state. He presented the North Carolina 25-year plan that the Governor has put together. We all got to hear that. But he and Secretary Tata commented that our shallow draft inlets are not just waterways, they're highways. And if the state recognizes that, and we've been talking for several months now with the feds about that, it would be nice if locally we recognized that and put them in there because we do have state and local money put toward it. And we'd really, really like to see that considered.
So are you referring to the actual vessel or the...
I'm referring to the inlets.
The inlets.
And
okay.
On your three things that are the you know, what they actually represent, economic enhancement and safety are the two major reasons for keeping those inlets open. And that's for tourism, it's for the seafood industry, it's for our charter boat captains, it's for local people and our guests. And it's a highway just as much as a waterway.
Mm-hmm. I do encourage you to bring that comment to the period for the open house period. One thing that they might respond, and that is, I would say that would be an operations and maintenance yes. project primarily. Now this plan, while we do take some of those operational and maintenance issues into account, really the funding can only go towards capital improvement projects. So please come and tell us, and we'll be able to discuss more per each mode, but keeping in mind we're really looking at bridges and boats and so hard projects like that. But we'll discuss it more.
Okay, because like I said, if the state recognizes that, it would be nice if locally we recognize.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Bethany. Thanks, John.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Discussion and consideration of persons to address council. And Mr. Pittman.
I'm here to basically give a courtesy presentation to the council on the CV townhome project. Dean had mentioned you guys wanted to kind of see what we were doing and what they were going to look like and things like that. So I've got a couple of pictures to show you here in a second.
We may be stuck at that.
That's
That might be what you're going to have to face.
So this is a preliminary landscape plan that shows the pool and the layout of the units. I think you guys probably saw the site plan last time we were here. This has just got some of the landscaping added to the drawing. So there's a buffer landscaping around the pool here and down this side facing Sea Watch. And then we have a walkway going over to the beach access, and then some landscaping on Fort Fisher Boulevard, and over to the side here. This is kind of some signage and flowers and stuff like that there. And then landscaped entrance here, and the little drive aisle. This, I think it's only 12 foot wide.
Yes.
He's got it facing east north. He's got
it exactly right. Yeah, the ocean is over here.
Is it up there? Okay.
Yeah. This Fort Fisher Boulevard right here.
Okay.
And Stuart, along Fort Fisher Boulevard, is that a berm or something, or is that just flat?
I don't think we're planning to do much of a berm, maybe a little gentle berm. Yeah, the same, the girl that designed the rework of the Sea Watch landscaping also designed this.
Okay.
So it's meant to go with Sea Watch's plan.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay, good idea.
Yeah. If there's no questions about this, I'll show you the renderings of what the buildings will look like.
I'll do it just a second. Where you've got the sidewalk going to the crosswalk.
Right here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that exactly where the crosswalk is now? Or?
Yeah. I don't think there is a crosswalk, like an official crosswalk there, but it's right where the public beach access is right here.
Okay.
The crosswalk is right in front of Curie Beach Village's parking lot.
Over here?
It is, yes. It is not in front of the beach crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a public access up here, is it? Mm-hmm.
This is, these are both private here.
Okay.
Yeah.
The public ones down here? The
public ones down here.
Yep.
Is there going to be enough vegetation along there to prevent parking on that side?
I think so. I hope so. I'm not sure how big the right-of-way is outside of the landscape in there.
Next.
All right, next.
Yeah, they can bring up both of those pictures or one at a time.
Yeah, let's just see what they're going to do.
Which one? The
one? Either one.
Okay.
This is just an artistic rendering of kind of what the units will look like. This is the rear of the units, so the garage is on the back. There's one car garage on each unit. Deck up on the top, small deck on this level, and then there's two different versions. This one has a gable roof, and then there's a version that has a hip roof. I'm going to bring up the other one.
Mr. Pittman?
Yes, ma'am.
Could you talk in the microphone?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, turn it around.
Yeah. And this is the hip roof version.
What do you remember?
So it's essentially the same, it's just the roof line's a little different.
Are there three or
all of these?
These are four bedrooms.
All of these homes with the garage doors on in this location, those are all facing the internal street?
No. Not all of them. The ones that are on Curie Village Way would look like this. It would have the garage door with the deck on the same side. The ones that are facing Sea Watch, the garage door would be on the internal side and the deck would be on the outside.
Okay.
And same with the ones on Curie Village Way. I mean on Fort Fisher Boulevard, I'm sorry. Would be the garage would be on the back here and this deck would be on the other side.
Okay.
How many square feet apart?
They're all 2250. And then I have the actual plans that look sort of like this, or it's not rendered if you want. Anybody wants to see anything?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you for keeping us updated.
Okay, sure.
Mr. Pittman, could you email me a floor plan?
Sure.
I think you mean emailing the contract.
I'll get it from you.
Yeah, have you determined the cost yet?
No, I'm still working on that.
Okay. Discussion and consideration of committee business. Board of Adjustment.
Just do a little check.
Community Center Committee.
Thank you so much.
Marketing Committee. Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. Planning and Zoning. Craig, you want to say a few words?
Craig Galbraith, the Chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Before you get on to interviewing the applicants, I just wanted to bring you up to date on two issues that we've been addressing over the last couple months based upon recommendations of the council. The first is the short-term rental applicant. We had a public hearing on this. It was a good public hearing. We had about 13 folks speak against it, primarily associated with the rental industry. We had one resident speak for a permitting process, and then we had another resident that was somewhat lukewarm. We also, our attorney did a lot of examination, found that we were somewhat restricted in terms of some North Carolina statutes. So what we did is we tabled the item. We also explained to all the folks that were there about the process, and I just want to assure the council that anything brought to the council will be well vetted and well thought out by the planning and zoning. But as of right now, it's tabled. I'm sure we're going to talk about it on our next meeting. But, you know, certainly it will be a well-vetted and well-thought-out process in terms of what's brought to council. The other thing that we've been addressing is the parking issue on 421. And again, just to remind the council, what was assigned to us as the PMZ is to somewhat take responsibility, not only to look at the 421 parking issue, but kind of a general parking issue throughout Curie Beach. We did have a public hearing on that. We also had a couple sessions within our regular PNZ meeting. And I think about four things came out of it. And, you know, I'm going to bring it back and you know, give a suggestion to the council based upon the recommendation of the PNZ Commission. One is that the town has a lot of flexibility on 421. That it was quite clear when we contacted the state transportation that, you know, they're willing to, you know, do whatever we want to have done. And I think I mentioned that to the council before. The other thing that we investigated was that there really aren't a lot of restrictions for parking on residential streets. It somewhat surprised us because we thought there would be restrictions based upon the width of the various streets. For example, right out here, in fact, there's no restrictions for parking on any residential streets except for a very few type of situations. So those are kind of the two major findings. The commission felt that we had probably gone as far as we could go because there was also a general opinion based upon the parking committee and several other people that spoke in the public hearing that we couldn't really develop any sort of a strategic plan related to parking until the council has some guidance given to whoever's responsible for developing the parking plan regarding specifically the council's attitude towards paid parking, whether the council wanted to have consideration of restrictions in residential streets such as maybe permitted parking, short-term parking, restricted parking on certain residential streets, because certainly there was a general feeling that if we restrict parking on 421, that it would push the parking problem into some of the residential streets. And that's why we did investigate to see what sort of restrictions exist right now in the residential streets. The commission also felt that that the P&Z Commission really didn't have the skills to go much further than what we have done in terms of coming back to the council, and that our recommendation is that any sort of plan or strategy be given to either the existing parking committee or a separate committee be established with members from the various committees to try to address this issue. But again, I think the major concern is that it'd be very difficult to come up with a recommended proposal or strategy without some guidance regarding the issue of paid parking, restricted parking on residential streets, and what sort of things that might be built into kind of an overall general plan related to the vision for the town. So those are the two major issues. Again, the short-term permitting process, you know, that's still going to be discussed in detail and vetted and I'm sure amended, you know, dramatically. But I think with the parking issue, you know, we went about as far as the P&Z could go, and the P&Z asked me to come back and, you know, give those recommendations to the council. Yes?
So Craig, when we said this to you, we had a specific area, Ocean Dunes,
right,
come to council and make a specific request. And that request was, can we rule out parking in front of that area? And when they did that, I know I said, I don't know what the rest, I don't remember the rest of the council, but what I thought was pretty clear was go to P&Z and work on 421 as a whole entity, because the same issue that Ocean Dunes complains about is exactly the same issue that the homeowners associations are complaining
right
about down 421, right? And so I understand why you broadened out your issue, right? Because as you investigated it, the neighborhood said, well, we're concerned that if you stop people from parking on 421 somehow, they're going to push back into the areas, right? Especially in the south part, right? So I certainly understand that. But is P&Z basically saying there's nothing that we could recommend to you do to meet what these citizens asked us for? I mean, that's what we asked you.
Right, and the council actually, they kind of broadened it beyond the 421, you know, when we were assigned it. But certainly, our focus was primarily on 421. That's what started the process.
Yeah.
So when we had the public hearing on that, it was quite clear in terms of the discussions from the public hearing as well as the various committees that were involved with the process that if there's restricted parking, one, we wanted to make sure that we could restrict parking, and yes, we can.
Okay.
You know, I mean, there's no question about that. But there was a general feeling that as we restrict parking there, we push the parking problem simply into the residential streets across the area or further down 421 and these sort of things. And that's when we then investigated whether there were existing restrictions in the town statutes or ordinances regarding that. It turns out there's no restrictions for parking on residential streets. And that kind of led to the whole idea is that, well, what do we need to do? So if we're going to recommend eliminating parking on 421, that then feeds into a broader issue about restricting parking on the residential streets, which raises a whole set of new ordinances. And so the general feeling, I think, of the commission was that we've probably gone about as far as we could go as a commission, because you know, parking is not really our area of expertise.
Okay.
And there was a general feeling that, yeah, I mean, these are very, very important issues, but it may be better assigned to a special committee just assigned that has some parking folks on it or the existing parking committee.
Okay. Thanks.
David, can I answer part of your question?
Sure.
After you went to the meeting and receiving all those letters from people and talking to some of them and talking to some of the committees we have, I think the biggest feeling I got from the people who live here is that they would like for the town to look at where do we want to be 5 or 10 or 20 years from now, and how do we get there? If we don't mind the influx of everybody and we want to allow parking everywhere, then maybe we should go on and decide that. If we don't want the influx of people at all and we don't want to have parking anywhere at all to keep people from even coming here, let's decide that, and all kinds of alternatives in between. And it doesn't just concern parking, it concerns a lot of things here. And I think we talked a little bit about this before, but maybe it's time for the council to talk seriously, you know, with the residents and together about where do we want Curie Beach to be in the future, and what does that mean? What's the impact on fire and police and buildings, and what does that mean for paid parking? Do we never want it at all, or do we want to consider it at some point? What is that going to be for parking in neighborhoods? And give those people some direction, instead of just asking them to come up with something without knowing what the town really wants to be. I think they could spend weeks, maybe even months, coming up with their solution, and then when they bring it to us, we go, oh no, there's no way in the world we'll accept that. And I hate to see them spend all their time doing that and without us first letting them know what we want Cura Beach to be.
Okay. We have a few decisions to make.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
William Moore and Kenneth Richardson, will you both stand up so we can see you? And Mr. Moore, I think you're up first.
Alpha Moore.
I'm assuming you want me to discuss why I want the job.
Yes.
Since no one gave me any previous direction except be here.
Yes, sir.
Okay. My name is Bill Moore, officially William Moore. I own property at Ocean Dunes and lived there part-time for 23 years. I moved recently this past year down here full-time. I've gotten actively involved in the town. I'm a member of the Cura Beach Citizens Advisory Group, working for Charlie and then Hoku, doing those kind of things. I'm also currently the president of Ocean Dunes, though my term of office does run out in May, and someone else will take over that wonderful job. Full of benefits, as you all know. Some background on me, I'm a retired high school principal, both in North Carolina, in Bloomington, North Carolina, and in New York. I'm also a retired lieutenant colonel, United States Army Reserve. I spent 2 years inactive. I've spent 25, 26 years in the reserve program. I am a trained tanker, which doesn't do you a lot of good down here. I don't expect any big invasions. However, the other side of my training is logistics. I've been actively involved my entire reserve career in some form of logistics, be it transportation, or I've commanded a battalion. I've run field service companies. I have been staff officers at multi-levels. And I think I have something to contribute. So I want to take this opportunity, the position open that I apply for. If someone wants me to keep going, unless you have questions, I can. I've done a presentation before. I can fill in all the time.
Do you have time to fulfill your duties?
Yeah, if there's an old line, if you want something done, give it to a busy man. I don't, you know.
Okay.
That's me, and I will do whatever it takes to get the job done.
So I read your application. Can you just tell me what your understanding is of P&Z and how it's been implemented in the town?
It is a committee organized by the town. Its job is to work with current regulations from the state and help advise this committee to develop local ordinances dealing with planning for the future and whatever zoning issues that do come up in this area. I would assume it's a long-range position. I'm worried about tomorrow. You're also worried 5 or 10 years down the road and trying to do an orderly transition as we get bigger, as technology changes, as transportation gets involved. And I would also assume, again, that one of the functions of this committee is whenever they make a decision to try to advise this board about unintended consequences. Too often, decisions are made at every level, and this is a great plan, but no one looks at the offside of this. For example, we just talked about it earlier when you talk about our request to close down 421 for parking. There was an unintended consequences that no one thought about pushing it into the regular time. And you took other issues involved, and what I would like to do is bring some of my expertise and leadership to this committee to try and sort out and develop and identify as many unintended consequences for every action that we have. And you can't solve them all, but you can address many of them.
So, Bill, have you attended any of the P&Z meetings?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did a presentation at the last meeting.
Okay. Any other questions?
What is your, say, number one or number one and two reasons for wanting to be on the Planning Commission itself? We all are here to get back to the town, but...
I do have some expertise, not only from the military side of it, but when I was in Eatonton, where I lived for a number of years, I was on the planning board for the town up there. So admittedly, they only met maybe 4 or 5 times a year. because there's not a whole lot going on in a small town, But I do learn that you do UDO and I work for that area, so I'd like to bring this expertise here. Why this committee? Well, I wanted to get involved. I have some expertise. The position is open. And I'll take whatever salary you don't get.
That's the funny part.
Any further questions?
Anybody else?
Thank you.
Thank you,
sir.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, Council, for having me, number one. My name is Kenneth Richardson. I live at 632 Sedward Lane. I've been a permanent member of Curry Beach for 5 years. I also have served on the board for the Keys for 3 years and president for one. I have a background, job background with Department of Energy, where I was in charge of the planning and production and a lot of projects. So we had to look at the many, you know, when you do a project, what with all the unintended consequences, like I said before, how was that going to fit in? We were like a small city. We had fire, police, utilities, water. So whenever we did anything, we had to make sure that we looked at the whole process. So that's the kind of expertise I would bring into the planning board. I have not had a chance to go to any of the meetings. Sorry, I haven't. And one of the main reasons that I wanted to get on this, after being here for 5 years, I guess like the council member said, I'm trying to find out what we want to be in 5 or 10 or 15 years from now. And I'd like to see us stay in a balanced, more of a residential community. So that's kind of my philosophy coming into the zoning board. Any questions?
Mr. Richardson, you get my second question then. So what is your philosophy regarding actually adherence to the planning and zoning structures versus variances in your past or even in a town like Curry Beach?
When we had ours, of course, being federal, we didn't have the worry about the variances. I mean, we were under a federal plot, so we just had to fill. That's something I would have to gain expertise in.
I had a question I forgot to ask Mr. Moore, but I'd like to ask both of you.
Can you answer for both of us?
Nice, there you
go. Where do you stand on the 35-foot height limit?
I would say I would want to keep it as it is now. My understanding of that is that is, when I first moved here, I know that was a big issue. And my understanding of how that was resolved is that Raleigh ended putting it into a legislative type of mode. So that if we decided we wanted to change it, we would have to go to Raleigh and actually get the legislation changed, which I think is a process would take, you know, quite a bit of time. But me personally, I would like to see our building height stay the same. Like to say, my philosophy is that I moved here as a residential community, and I see this as being one of the highlights of Curry Beach, one of the reasons people like to come here, is because it is this type of community.
I think he actually did speak for both of us, because I agree with what he said. I really find nothing wrong with any way you presented it, so I think the 35 foot is an important factor to keep on.
Thank you. Good.
Anything else? Thank you again.
One of the things, obviously, from my particular opinion, both men have strong background. One of the things that I tend to think about, one of the reasons I did ask the question, and you would know that guys like John Allen and myself, every meeting is open to everybody in the community, whether it be P&Z, whether it be council, whether it be anything. And I am pleased to see that people take an interest without being on the council to come forward and participate, right, as
interested citizens as opposed to just being part of it. With that, no dispersion intended on either of the gentlemen, but that will definitely tend to make me lean towards Mr. Moore. Emily?
Well, I really like Mr. Richardson's background in a large federal agency. Like he said, he's treated pretty much as a city, and his experience with trying to balance all the repercussions from those decisions and having worked in energy divisions for the state, I know how difficult that is, looking at all different energy alternatives and what the ramifications are. I'm glad that both of them are opposed to raising the height limit. And I just really like the way Mr. Richardson approached everything in his application to us.
David? I won't laugh. Oh, okay. See, I never did laugh.
I like Mr. Moore's answers.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Two to one? I won't laugh. I asked for the laugh. Okay. I think I'll have to go with Mr. Moore. So, from my standpoint, one, that's three, so it doesn't matter. But from my standpoint, I appreciate both gentlemen being interested.
Yeah,
I'm pretty torn, so the reason I want to go last is Lieutenant Colonel on one side, and then as the old timer up here, I always like people to live in town for a while before they join one of our boards. That's pretty critical in my opinion, right? So it sounds like we've made a decision. Congratulations, Mr. Moore, and thank you very much, sir, for being interested.
Can I have a motion?
I have a motion to nominate William Moore for
it. I make a motion that we will nominate William Moore as candidate.
I'll second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye. Opposed?
Me.
Thank you.
And thank you again, sir. There'll be other opportunities. Please become
sure. We hope you will continue to work with us. More, you will receive a letter and
a book.
There you go.
Before we move forward on this, why can't we hold Mr. Richardson as an offer in case something happens to somebody on that board?
That would be acceptable to me, yes.
You never know, something might happen. And instead of going through the process again, he's been interviewed. We like him.
Nancy's looking. Nancy's checking.
If we don't have an alternate, we certainly should. We have it.
That's right.
There's a need to create one in your ordinance.
Yeah, see, PNC is different from all the other boards for the other commissioners, right? We have to change an ordinance to change that board.
Yeah, because
which is fine. We can tell the attorney to do that, but that, if that's what the board wants, we need to direct the attorney to add an alternate to the ordinance.
I mean, I feel PNC is a very important board for the town. Because if you sit with an empty seat for very long, if something happens to one of its members,
I think that's a good thing.
Then Mr. Richardson
is just 5 years from
step right into that seat the very next month.
And it's not just an ad hoc committee that we just up and organized. It's required by law.
So you want to make a motion to
as a member of that committee, commission, Craig's over too. We did lose a guy for 1 month, and y'all sent out the notice. You had two applicants, so we're only going to be without a person for the 1 month that was.
If you want to make the motion.
I want to make the motion that the attorney put together, redo the ordinance on that to have that alternate case of a member falls off the board.
I second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
I want to make another motion that if something does happen, that we go ahead and appoint Mr. Richards.
So assuming the attorney changes the ordinance and it's approved, we'll send you a letter as well, sir.
Thanks. shoreline access beach protection and park and go meeting.
In your packets you have from September, Southern Signs, for $470.80. It's for three banners for a beach suite. We don't have one for Alabama, and we do not have one for K, but it will fit those white signs that we have there. And we put the second Saturday in April, so we could use that until, I think, 5 more years until...
Could I ask, why do we need banners? I mean, we've had beach sweeps for years with dozens of people coming out to help, and we've never had any kind of banner or sign. Why do we need...
We don't have enough of, we don't have enough of qualifications. Of with when they come into the town, like when you have, with the dinners and stuff, people see that sign. And on, like, well, we have Boogie in the Park, you have that sign. So when people come into the town, they see it, that it's a beach suite. A lot of people don't get emails, they don't read this, or they don't read that. But if they come into our town on both ends, you know, and that's what, you know, our committee suggested.
So, like our big chowder festivals and Boogie in the Park, you would like to have hundreds of people helping with the beach sweep?
Yeah, whatever. It's open to the public.
They are walking on the dunes, you know. You have to get the really big trash that is caught up in the dunes. So I don't understand the purpose of the signs. I think we'll have dozens of people on the dunes.
When we do beach sweep, there are people that do walk in the dunes to pick up garbage. It is what it is. But we don't have enough of signage when you come into both ends of town. And we want to upgrade the one that's at the pier. So it's coming out of our budget, $470.80. Three banners.
Harlan, is this fits in the committee's budget, correct?
Yeah, and they have funds available.
I make a motion to approve it to be signed.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. I'd say look good in the dorm room.
Nay.
Okay. Thank you.
Discussion and consideration of Department Head Business Administration and Recreation Department.
First item is renewal of the cell tower lease. Cell tower out behind Town Hall, it's owned by Crown Council. We are currently on a fourth amendment from this lease that started in 1998. That fourth amendment expires in April of 2016. Crown Council has asked for a commitment that once that expires, we automatically go into a next lease of 2 5-year terms, so that all the financial investment that they have in it, they'd like to know ahead of time. So what you have in front of you is the fifth amendment. It's the exact same terms. We still get a 3% increase yearly as we have now. There's no changes in the amendment as written, so that when it expires April 30th of 2016, then that new amendment takes over on May 1st. The attorneys reviewed it, asking for your approval.
Did you say it's 3% per year?
Yes.
Increase.
And this is just the tower. I think we're about 22.5. Now annually, and that goes to
is that just for this tower?
Just the tower. That's not all the subleases.
Okay, great. Make a motion to approve the new lease.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Nancy.
Next item: crosswalks on Fort Fisher Boulevard. In your packet, I do have a memo from me. I received a call from Pat Edgecombe on behalf of the Curie by the City HOA Association stating that they have been trying to get a crosswalk at their ski lane access. DOT has turned them down even though they said they would pay for it. There's one 600 feet to the south of that at Curie Village Way. Curie by the City contacted Curie Village Way because they have been told that Curie Village Way did not want the crosswalk that they currently have. And they talked to DOT about this, Curie by the Sea, can they switch if Curie Village doesn't want there. Since we're in the process of paving Fort Fisher Boulevard and 421, I've talked to DOT. They are willing to do whatever the town directs them to do. If we want to remove the one at Free Village Way and put it at Sea Lane. They're fine with that, but they need some indication from council of how they want to proceed. I've also given you hard copies, responses from the Curie Village HOA and Curie Keys HOA. They had a board meeting last week, and they have put in a writing that they do not want the crosswalk there. I did talk with Tony Gonzalez, co-chair of the Shoreline Access and Parking Committee, Beach Protection, sorry. We don't have time for that committee to meet, but he believes that his committee is against removing the crosswalk at Curie Village Way. Tony, I don't know if you want to speak to that.
All of your members?
I'm sorry?
All of your members want to
Yes, all 11 members. It's very hard. You have to go through the procedure with DOT. It's very hard to put crosswalks on 4th Avenue.
Sounds like Nancy is taking care of that.
Well, so does it move it closer or further to the public access?
Sorry.
Further from the public
access. It's closer to another access.
It's about the same distance. The Curie Village Way, it actually comes right to their HOA, the edge of their HOA, the southern end. And a few feet down, I don't remember how many feet.
It's 75 feet according to Sunny. And Sunny and Chief Cooper both oppose the crosswalks because they give a false sense of security. And many times myself, I've seen drivers, they do not stop for that crosswalk. And I mean, we, frankly, Public Works, Police Department, and yours truly would like to see us not have anyone on Fort Fisher Boulevard, but Curie Beach Village specifically, because everybody who parks in that area thinks that crosswalk, you know, it directs them right into the parking lot there, and they think that's the public crossover. It isn't. And I don't know anybody who lives in Curie Beach Village that wants that crosswalk there. They didn't ask for it to begin with. Now, if the other ones want it up at Sea Lane, you know, I don't have any problem with it. But I've already told Sunny the crossover needs better signage because you can't really see that almost till you have passed it.
We don't have any control over that signage because it is a state road and that's the only signage that they will give us. We fought with them about that because at Fort Fisher crossover there's an additional sign that says state law, but they've told us that that shouldn't have been up there and they would not add it to these. The crossover at Sea Lane, if you put one there, will be the same thing. It will go to their HOA, and a few feet south of that is a public access. South or north?
Curie Beach Way, when SLAP put them in, that was three communities at that time. We didn't have any people that were against it. There was one HOA that did talk to me about it, but it's 1/10 of a mile from that corner to the public access.
To the and south or the north? South public access.
Yes, from that corner going south. One-tenth of a mile to the public access. We put that there because there's three communities that cross the intersection, which is a very important area to cross. What we had problems with last year is the day trippers parking there and, of course, walking over. We now, the HOA or the town, put up a sign directing people to the public beach access. The crosswalk is on the corner because that's where DOT puts crosswalks, on the corner. And I know Sonny and Cooper, they don't like any of them, but, you know, that's their opinion. People do use it in the town. And what the problem was, that the one HOA came to our committee and he was complaining about it. And I said, at the end of that, one of the other gentlemen from the HOA, I explained why we put it there. He agreed with us that he would like to have it stay there. Now, the one down in Sea Lane, she's having a hard time. DLT didn't get back. We're not going to, as far as SLAP is concerned, we're not going to switch them. We want that one there because it's a heavy traveled intersection for the people in that whole area that cross over. And we had the problems with the day trippers because people were parking. But with this new development going in, that might eliminate all the problems we have. So, but slapped is for leaving that there. And if Seed Lane wants one, let them go to DOT and pay for one to have it installed.
Yeah, I live in the Keys, like I said, and also the village. I agree that that gentleman is a tenth of a mile, but it might as well be right next door. People do not look obey the sign. We continually have problems. And I have another consideration for council. Would you put a crosswalk right into somebody's driveway? That's private property that crosswalk goes into. That's not a public access. So to me, it's the same as putting a crosswalk right into somebody's driveway, just because if a house was there, even though there was a lot of people going, you wouldn't put it. It's a private property, so that's another reason why we don't.
You still have the right of way for Fort Fisher Boulevard. There's a right of way that belongs to Town of Fury Beach. So when they cross over, they walk down. That's what the whole gist of it is.
All last summer, I didn't see it.
Well, people use that a lot.
So the community is asking to move it to the north. Where is it going to drop out to the north? Because there's not a public beach access there.
No, the last one is at 1,004 and a half. That's the last public access, and we have no parking there. And
right. Now I'm just asking, if you move it, where does it drop out to?
I see the
name,
private HOA access.
So it's
right.
Their HOA.
Yeah, their HOA.
So they haven't been talking to you guys about what's going to happen.
Well, they want to get into the deal because it's a matter of them not paying for one, and you know they don't want.
It's not a matter of that. DOT is not going to put any more crosswalks.
Right.
They've already said.
Right.
We had to fight to get the fine that we have in town. Yeah.
And we did fight to get our fine.
And not meet any of the requirements. So if you don't approve this, then they will not be able to have.
So that new development is going to be built right there on the corner.
Yes, sir.
When they cross over, they're going to have to walk down to go to the public beach.
Well, you saw our plans.
That's a different point.
Right.
You know,
and their
entrance looks like it's farther than the public access because they look like they were at the end of the park.
That public access is just about in the middle of
the town. That's not going to help the Sea Lane Way people, right? So the people that asked for the change,
right.
If you move it further south, is not going to help their issue, right?
So, right. Well, if you move it further south, you're going to move it right to the public access.
Right, exactly right. Yeah.
And then that actually puts it where public is.
Right. Yeah. I also live in the Keys and Village, but in a separate issue, I think you can see how all this is tied, because I guarantee you what's going to happen when we're talking about the parking, because as that development is built, right now people use that lot, that empty lot to park on, and then they cross over, again, thinking that's public access. As that's built, and I think if you see it, and I can go either way on the crosswalk, so I'm just suggesting that something to think about. But if they see a crosswalk there, I think what you're going to see is a lot of day trippers and public people parking on Curie Beach Way. You're going to see that being parked on as that lot is developed right there, because they'll see the crosswalk and they think that's a public access.
They already are.
But it'll even be more, I think, parked up and down there. So again, you can see how all these things, are all tied together.
And after that development it is in, I don't think we're going to have any problem at all with parking with day trippers.
Yeah, Mike, well, that's pretty strong. I would agree with that.
You still have two HOAs who say that they don't want it there. I think
right.
That has to be given some consideration.
I make a motion that we request that when 401 is paved, we do not put the crosswalk back in front of the Curie Beach Village parking lot. That's one motion.
Yeah. Okay.
That means we delete it there at Curie Beach Village, like the only HOAs have requested.
Yeah.
I think that's a separate motion. Well, I think we really kind of differ on that. I don't want to destroy this motion by proposing something that is.
Do I have a second for her motion? Nah, she lacked a second. Yeah, I think we got to decide where it's going to go, right? So I think.
Yeah. No, that's...
Somebody else wants to say something?
You have two choices.
What's your name?
My name's LJ Hess, 209 Sea Lane Way. At our HOA meeting last month, our community would certainly like to have the crosswalk there at the end of Sea Lane Way. We have a lot of young children in our family, a lot of permanent residents, some weekend summer folks, young kids. We would like it.
Okay, I make a motion that we do not put the crosswalk back in front of the Curie Beach Village parking lot and Curie Beach Village Way, but that we do put one at Sea Lane.
I'll second that.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
I think
so. That's it. One aye.
That's what it says. You would do that.
Hang on. Hang on.
Now, what was that vote?
Yeah, I said
that's what. Well, I think also, council, I would like to have from the HOA a written statement of the amount of people that are for it and that are against it, in writing with their names and addresses that are for it and against it. Just having an HOA come in and say we don't like it there, and there's only six people at their meeting. It doesn't entail everyone who uses that.
Yeah, that's the only one who's reporting the HOA, so he wants it there.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
You want it?
Yeah.
He wants it up there.
He's from Sea Lane.
And the HOA president for
Jesus.
What do you want to say, Greg?
Well,
I was just thinking that I think we went to the vote very quickly. We didn't have additional discussion. Okay, so the only point that I was thinking of, and it's just the logic of this, which is if you moved it south, just if you moved it south and people that came out of those three communities had to walk the right way on the west side of the street as opposed to walking on the other side of the street, I mean, I can see public access. That's one option. Another option is putting it where the citizens of that community would like it. So I think what we have is we've got one group of citizens that doesn't want it, and we have another group of citizens that would like to have it. And our responsibility here is just to think of the three, and then we should, come to a vote on whatever we think is the right answer.
Yeah, we can't. I mean, it has to be done tonight.
No, I know it has to be done tonight.
Well, so that's the question. What if DOT say they have to have an answer before?
They're holding up striping.
That's what I was afraid of. See, this is the whole issue of we always get behind the time eight ball.
Right. And you're being pushed. But I like the HOA to have a written statement as well to the council.
Can I respond to that, please?
Yes, sir.
What the gentleman said, right, it's in meetings, but you have to remember also that the village and the Keys, they're the part of the community that uses the ocean a lot, and they are part of the community that couldn't care about the ocean. They just like living here. So it's the people who actually utilize the gazebo, who actually cross down there, who actually put up with the parking and put up with the fact that they're paying $300 a year for private property that the state now has required funnel anybody into. And you can put all the signs you want up there, unless we hired a guard, you know that's not going to work. So we can go, and I can go, I'm past president, I can talk to President of the Keys and the village and see if we can get a vote on it, but I don't think it's going to fit the time frame that DOT needs.
May I make one other statement? DOT is not going to put a crosswalk in the middle of the street.
That's right.
It's going to be on the corner, but that's
on the corner. Right.
It's on the corner.
Well, she's not going to put it in the public beach access. Right. It's in the middle of the street.
Okay. It's got to be on that's a good point. That's a good point. Yes.
Where would DOT move the corner?
It'd be on the ceiling.
Here's the corner.
There's a map.
I never thought.
It's a map in your.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. This one.
Yeah, move it to
Sea Lane. Are you the HOA president?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I I did, I've been texting with our HOA.
Do you need a walkout?
No.
Okay. Nancy,
so we can make another motion.
Have we tried again? Okay.
So do you want to remake the motion since it's...
That the request from Curie Village?
Curie Beach Village.
Village. That they can remove it, have it removed, and that the sea lane way people, it be added to them. So switch it. Like, in other words, nothing here, and then sea lane, have the crosswalk. That was Emily's
And that's
motion.
An intersection or a corner.
Yes.
Okay. And it was seconded by David, and then there was a vote, but but I have no idea. Right. So, is that an okay?
The motion is second, sir. Can you ask for a favor? Zika, not saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay.
Good luck,
just
gentlemen.
Just ask that, if you will.
Good luck, everyone. Continue on, sir, Mayor.
Item C, proposed on the job training policy at the February meeting. We have a discussion.
Yep.
And we, the finance officer and I were directed to bring back the draft policy.
And so, first, I'd like to say excellent job on the policy that you worked on. I'm not sure who you worked with, Nancy. I think it meets exactly our issue. So to remind the council, the issue was we had a member of the fire department that through his department head's approval got outside of our policy. We accepted that because it had already been done, but we then directed to Nancy and Harlan to go look at what was happening out in other towns and propose a policy. She's proposed two policies, which are in your packet. She's proposed two policies in your packet. The first one is job training. This one is for the department heads to approve it as part of their job, which they've been doing, but we didn't really have it formalized. So there have been multiple department heads that have sent, I know in my department, Public Works, we've sent people to specific training that was for the town. This just codifies that so they can do that. And then the second policy, I think, is a good balance. So that's the first policy, right? Training and certification. Go ahead, Nancy. Sorry.
I have them as separate items. It could be for the tape and the clerk have one conversation, too.
The first policy is the department head determines it's reasonable. We've been doing this, so I know at least Sonny has sent people to classes. It talks about what it is. If it's for they're in the department head right after the picture of the where the crossings were.
Yeah. Proposed on the job training policy. We don't currently have an actual policy. We've always done on the job, but we've never had anything that defines what that is. And the main concession to this is that if the department head determines that there's not adequate courses for on the job training and feels like a college degree or undergraduate degree. Is necessary to the institutional council, and that time council will decide whether it would be approved or not, and we designate what would be paid, tuition fees, books, whatever, and with the option to say to the employee, we will pay for this, but you have to sign an agreement to say you can have 2 years after you receive the degree. It gives an option to the department if they feel other training is needed.
Right, so this list puts it back on the department head, which I think is a good way to do it. But it also, just like a lot of other training for employees, that makes them more valuable and potentially risk loss because they've now got a degree that may be beyond what's required for the job, but the department feels it helps the town. The council approves that. The person signs, just like I had to sign with Corning, that they sign for 2 years afterwards. And if they leave before that, they pay the town back, which I think is a good balance. So I open it to you guys' questions, and then I want to make a motion to approve, and then we'll talk about the second one.
It also signifies the course is taken for cultural or personal enrichment and not eligible under on-the-job training, and then refers to the tuition reimbursement policy, which is separate.
Right.
I'm sorry, on that last point, Nancy, did you say personal enrichment or on-the-job training and or both?
I'm proposing, we have right now a tuition reimbursement policy, which is if an employee wants to get a degree, the town will pay $500 a year towards tuition, books, or fees. I'm proposing a new policy for on-the-job training, which states what that is and what we will pay, and that if there's not adequate resources for that particular field, that the department head feels that a college degree would be better or more reasonable, then he would petition, or she would petition the council, and the council would determine whether it would be paid and what would be paid and for how long. With the stipulation, the employee would sign an agreement to stay with the town 2 years after that. So what's important to do, I think the finance officer and I both feel this, if you're going to pay for tuition, college education, you need to say whether it's a benefit or it's on-the-job training for purposes of IRS so that there aren't tax consequences for the employees or us. We'll get us some help with the IRS. And fairly understand that to some degree, too.
Yeah, I think breaking apart was great. I appreciate the work you have put into it.
I disagree with you on one thing where you made some notes there and you said you thought that our discussion last time was more on training, not on education, not on tuition. I think that was the whole crux of our discussion was we were only doing $500 and we wanted to consider something different, although we didn't know what it was at the time. But also, it's a little confusing that education is discussed in both of these policies, and it seems to me they should either be combined into one policy, like most of this one is, or there should be education and there should be on-the-job training, and you don't discuss it in both of them, because that can be very, very confusing. It's like, should the council approve a petition, like for education? That really needs to be in the education one, or we need to have just one policy, and that's all. And on a side note, we were talking about 2 years after they receive a degree. I think it should be 2 years for every year they receive their tuition is paid for. So that if they get it for 4 years, they're here for eight. Because a four-year degree is a heck of a lot of money, and that's the way they do it, like with teachers. Okay, I got $500 a year, and I had to work a year for every single year I received that tuition. So maybe you can address the company you work for.
Well, I
understand that. I think that I was thinking along this is, first of all, I like the fact that you say we got the $500. If it's determined that more is necessary, and that a college degree is necessary, the department head determines that, brings it to council, it gets approved by council to some extent, maybe all of it, maybe half of it, maybe some of it. I like every aspect of that. Now, on your
point, but it needs to be, the 500 needs to be out of the conversation.
No, I know that, you're right. I got it. I was saying the 500 is within the purview of the department head. You want to go beyond
that. Which is a
that.
Benefit.
Right.
And subject to IRS taxes.
Right. Now, on this, what I would say, Emily, is if you're going for a four-year degree and you actually get 4 years of study, if you get four and 2, you got 6. light for the investment.
You too,
wow. So I mean, from my perspective, I think you got 42, you got 6. I think now that I've had a chance to read it, I just have trouble with my computer open this morning today. And I think it's a nice job.
It's a draft. That was a suggestion.
So from my standpoint, Ellie, your question about combining the two versus not, in my opinion, because I talked with Carl and Nancy about this a little bit, the reason they're split up separately is because we have to treat them separately in IRS rules. And so if we send a fireman to fire school and say that's part of the job, we pay for it straight up as a town, and the IRS doesn't get involved. We don't have to scale them up or put it on their tax form, and they don't have to deal with it, and Arlen doesn't have to report it. If we send them to an MBA and we say, well, that's going to make them ready to be a department head potentially, but it's not required for their job, Arlen has to report that because it's not required for the job, and it's an IRS thing. And that's why they went down the path of two policies, I think, because you need to clearly identify to the employee and to the town which one we're under so that Arlen can do the tax stuff so the employee knows if he's going to get taxed on it. Because we're not giving them money, we're paying something. But when their taxes come around, they got to account for that. And they got to pay taxes on it potentially. So that's why they went down to... as far as the time frame, I think the council's got to decide how far is the time frame, right? I think 2 years is reasonable. We're not talking about big money in either one of these, we don't think. I think what I got and sent to Nancy was, here's how much it costs at Cape Fear Community College to do courses, because that's really what most of our employees are going to do, right? If they do more than that, okay, you're going to probably do some of it on your own. The town will help you, but you're going to pay for some of it on your own, right? And so for most of our employees, not all, but most, Cape Fear Community College is the type of degrees I think they're going to be asking us to support, and I think those are the right ones to support. If they go to UNCW, we're still helping them, we're just not helping them the whole way. I think it was a nicely balanced policy. The details, we can table until next month if you guys feel like we should all give individual feedback. I think that's fair, because we don't have to do it right now, but...
I would rather table it so we can think of that, because the second and third paragraph under the thing that specifically says job training is totally about master's and bachelor's degrees.
Yeah, okay.
And
I make a motion we table it, but the council give written feedback to the staff in the next week and a half.
They're excellent paragraphs. Okay.
I make a motion, we table it, and give written feedback in a week and a half.
I second.
A motion and a second.
He said second.
I said second.
I motioned.
What?
I said I made a motion.
Oh.
He seconded.
Sorry, wait a minute. Anyway, vote. Can we have a vote?
Yes, we can. Sir, yes.
Yes. Okay. And all in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Nancy. Week and a half to give feedback, right? Yes.
Okay, last one is a revision to the current tuition reimbursement policy.
I make the same motion. To table that with feedback to staff in a week and a half.
Second.
That's by the 31st.
Second. I have a motion and a second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye. Thank you, Nancy. Great job.
Hi, Scott. You for Nancy?
I like the concept that I saw Nancy.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
I just need to think about it.
Okay. Anything else?
Not under that section.
Okay. I'm waiting.
You have an item under all business, beach walk through new stormwater project? You can address that?
So we skip finance, building, fire, police?
No. Oh.
Finance, project?
Sorry.
Finance, fire, anything? Building, John? Fire department, Harold?
No.
Police department, nobody?
Public Works Department?
No.
Discussing consideration of old business. P12 Maturity Stormwater Project.
Okay, so just to remind the council, our next meeting is next Tuesday night. We've had a request via email for us to walk out and look at the pond sometime before that meeting, so I'll get back to you on that. Hopefully Monday night, if that works for you, Mr. Moffitt. To council, I sent you a request to do the pros and cons of the 6 or 7 different options. The same request went out to the 2 homeowners associations. If you could get that back to me by Friday, I would appreciate it so I could get all our stuff together and ask you any questions. I haven't got any feedback from any of you yet, so please, Friday. No email? Email? Everyone? You can't get an email? Oh, you can't. You can give me pros and cons.
Okay.
Maybe when we vote, you can't vote if you say so. I'll let you and the attorney work that out. But you can tell me the pros and cons. All right, so there's way too many attorneys involved already.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Which 2 HOA? This is the Curry Dunes Stormwater?
No, so it is dealing with 2 lots that the 4 lots, I'm sorry, that the town owns in...
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I thought it was... Okay, never mind.
And a pond that's co-located with them.
Well, you really should have the keys also on that, because their pond empties into our pond. For the dunes. They have a...
it's not the dunes pond.
It's not the dunes.
The pond is the beach. It's the beachwalk pond is the issue, which is
located.
Okay,
great. All right. I heard dunes. That's what I was wondering.
That's all right.
All right. Thank you.
Well,
that's no problem. Okay. I mean, so attendance is an open meeting, but the 3 organizations talking about it are the ones that are entwined in it. But if someone came, that would be but just to listen. It's a work session.
Thanks, David. Revised town clerk and finance officer job descriptions.
You stuck with me again. I decided I tried a different approach since my approach at the last meeting didn't work too well. What I've given you is the current job description for the finance budget officer in the left column. In the right column is the new proposed job description for the finance budget officer, adding the department head duties of the finance department. We have line by line title, finance budget officer, there's no change. Department was administration and finance, that will be changed to finance only. General statement of duties about supervision of financial operations for the towns. That does not change, stays the same in the new job description. Supervision section changes, it was under the town clerk office manager, is now under the direction of the town council. Duties and responsibilities, plan, organize, and supervise fiscal operations for the town. That does not change, that stays in the job description. In the green, in the next column, this is a something that was added. Plan, organize, and direct departmental operations to include recruitment and supervision of 2 full-time equivalent employees to perform accounts payable and receivable, utility billing and collection, payable operations, and front desk customer service functions. The next one, direct financial performance of the finance specialist. We have marked that out because we addressed that in the green above. Perform a variety of financial operations, including disbursement. That would be the same. That's in the proposed job description. On the next page, assist the town council in preparation of general operating and capital improvement project budgets, etc. That's the same. That carries over. The next one, review and monitor ongoing administration of town budget, revenue expenditures. That's the same. Carries over. Advise the town council on management of a variety of financial issues. The only change here, it said attend town council meetings when needed. We took out the when needed. I think he needs to come to all the town council meetings. I think I added that. But I deleted that. Not Arlen. Assist the auditors during the annual audit. That's the same. That's staying. Submit to town council periodic statements of the financial condition of the town. That stays in the new job description. Maintain financial records for each department and fund. That stays. Monitor, supervise, and direct the reimbursement of all expended town funds from grants TDA, Parks and Rec bonding, bond funding, excuse me, travel bill. This one was combined with the item below it, and we added the powerful funding. But other than that, those two things stay in the new job description. Am I going too fast? You understand what I'm doing?
I need some
time to look at this. Okay. I generally have a problem with just checking the green and most of them, but I would prefer to that.
Me too.
I'd like to make a motion that we table this until next council meeting. So we have time to review that. That would be good. That we respond to the town clerk by the 31st on any changes or questions.
Okay. And I'll second that
motion. I have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. All right, so I have one for the town clerk too.
Yep.
Is that one table too?
Make the same motion.
Second.
That we table it with feedback to the town clerk by the 31st.
Yep.
And then we will vote on the next meeting, so I'll add to the motion for this thing.
Second. All in favor? We have a motion and a second. All in favor, so you're going to
say aye. Aye. Thank you.
Very good.
Catch up to you. You're still up, Nancy. Number three, right?
That's yours.
No. You want to appoint a liaison to the new finance department when we finish establishment?
I'm going to appoint Steve.
All
right.
Four.
There you go.
Oh, nice.
Very smooth.
Cool. Do we have to vote on that? Do we have to vote on that? Your motion?
Oh, it's,
what's happening?
Appointment, right?
Oh, it's the mayor's appointment? Okay. I didn't know the
mayor.
It goes back to the mayor. It seems important to the mayor, right?
It's the mayor's appointment.
Well, there you go. Congratulations, sir.
Yes,
okay.
Just building codes is the only one we
voted
on.
That's right.
Okay, cool. Let me say it's the mayor's appointment, but it's generally done by approval of all members.
Yeah,
very much. Expiration of the east parking lot.
Excuse me, can I just... What happened?
Okay,
so you got appointed as the liaison for the new elected finance.
Oh, okay.
Responsible for all town finance. Down at that.
Speech.
So Commissioner Paglick has two departments.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so that, and everybody's good with it. All right.
Inspiration of East Park Boulevard.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen of the council, we are coming up that May 30th will be the end of the lease for the free parking lot next to downtown. Last year, the town participated by putting $2,000 forward to pay a $7,500 lease, and the community, the business community, actually stepped up and paid the other $5,500. Request is, I would like to have a little discussion and understand what the council's view would be on attempting to extend that or let it go.
So the only complaints for the house that I know of was the house right there, and we addressed that with stop signs and road bumps. I didn't hear if that was acceptable or not. They didn't come back again, but.
There was one other request, and that was to have it to allow a right turn onto Fort Fisher, not a cross traffic. There was a request to allow a right turn onto Fort Fisher, which we asked to have looked at, and actually that just never came to fruition. That was the only other suggestion.
Maybe we don't look at it. But first, we got to know whether or not we're going to have it.
Well,
other businesses be contributing at all this year?
Well, unless the town is willing to throw in R2, I was not going to go back to the businesses and ask them if they would go for the same
contingency.
And I don't know if the owner of the lot, they want more compensation. with your permission, I will pursue that information.
Yeah, I think we should investigate it, and in the annual meeting, that's where we are. I would recommend, you talk to the business owners and the owner of the property and see what kind of opportunity there is. I think it worked out pretty well for the town, but I know there was at least one homeowner that wasn't enthralled.
Is there an apron there on 421 for right turn only?
There is a place where you could actually, there was a ramp that you could go out.
Yeah,
So that certainly is a potential option, but I think we should get the opinion of the police slap and the police chief before we do that.
Right.
Right.
And ask Sonny if, you know, it's any more expense when someone doesn't want to ask for place. It's easy to move stone there, man.
Okay. At this point, we put in about $3,500 besides the actual lease payment.
But that was all one-time stuff, right? As far as we know.
Signs and stuff.
Yeah, all the signs.
Right. Okay, I'll check with Sonny. I'll check with Lance. And then I will check with Mike and the downtown merchants. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Static line. Walensky and Patsy. The reason I wanted to bring this up is in the Coastal Resource Commission, there is a thought about investigating or setting development lines by communities. Before John, this has been looked at before,
yes.
And John had come up with some recommendations. I thought that as a member of the council, we should take a look at this map, see where the line is today, see what the impact would be on potential. If we had a hurricane and lost some properties would have difficulty potentially getting financing to rebuild. Now, if we want to move a line, we should. We don't have to do that today, but maybe we should think about it. And we should probably do it as a group and not let John stand out there by himself.
Okay, for our guest in the audience, yeah. John, would you mind explaining what a static line is?
There's two different things, topics being talked about at Coastal Resources Commission, CRC, CAMA. They're all one and the same. The Coastal Resources Commission are discussing the possibility of creating what's called a development line, is what they're saying. Right now, all of the coast of North Carolina has what's known as a static line. CAMA actually went out there and they decided where to put this line based on previous erosion rates, previous storms, things of that nature. Never moves unless we have a catastrophic storm. The last storm, obviously, was Hurricane Fran Bertha in 1996. So, in order to simplify things, is what I'm being told. This is all speculation. It's only being talked about. Best case scenario, this could turn into a rule, a CRC rule within 18 months. So, it's not happening anytime soon. What they're proposing is for towns to basically have three choices. One, if you don't have a large-scale beach renourishment project, you have no choice but to abide by the static line setback that we have in place now. Two, you can apply for what's called the static line exception, which was a new rule that was put into place about 5 years ago that I recommended to town council that we should not pursue it. And I'll explain that one in a second. The third one was that the town could delineate a development line that's specific to Cary Beach and Cary Beach alone. Once we decide where we would like that line, CAMA would have to obviously approve it, and that would be entered into the rules, and we'd have to either procure surveying to show that line, or work with a GIS person and create GIS points so that surveyors could pull off those lines to do the surveys for the individual properties. In the meantime, they're investigating the language with the static line exception that I recommended to council that we not pursue about 5 years ago. The reason, let me explain, this is all kind of complicated stuff here. The static line exception was a rule that they introduced in 2010. The purpose of the static line exception was to allow development closer to the ocean. Technically, that was the purpose. However, the problem there was, if you did apply for the static line exception, you moved your development closer to the ocean, your property, your house, could be no larger than 2,500 square feet, and it could be no further towards the ocean than the properties on either side of it. This didn't really give us any breaks as far as our where our lines were in relation to our lots. Even if, at the time, I surveyed every single lot in Curie Beach personally on a map with a scale, and I could find, I don't remember finding a single one that would have been better off with this exception. And so I recommended the council not to do it for that reason, and also that it was going to cost us about $10,000 to go through the process. Now, they are taking that language out of that rule for the static line exception, and there is no maximum square footage that you're allowed to have. So at this point, we could go either with the development line rule that may not come to pass, or we can apply for the static line exception and create a benefit to some of our properties, potentially. There are some other new regulations that are coming down the line, and the line of new floodplain mapping that could affect, it affects most of our properties positively, but if property owners wanted to move their house closer to the ocean, it would have a negative effect on them. That's about the best I can really explain it at this time. So I guess what I'm saying is we need to just sit and wait until these rules become effective to decide which way we want to go, because right now we're just talking about something that doesn't even exist yet.
So is there anything driving us for any movement at all in the short term? It sounds like no, right?
No.
Okay. And as the rules develop, you'll keep updating us on where they're moving. And
I can't do that.
Pluses and minuses to the property owner.
Yes.
So that's really the issue.
The good part about every bit of this is we'll be able to apply for or do either one of them at any time. If it's not a specified deadline, you don't have to apply for it beforehand or anything like that. We can choose to move that way at any time. I can try to pull up this map for you now.
I think the network might be giving you some trouble.
That's the problem.
That's terrible.
Yeah, the network actually is down.
It's all backwards.
Try taking here. Let me just.
Can you put it back on the computer screen?
Let's do this. Well, that's what I'm having a hard time trying to figure out, but let's do this.
There you go.
Okay, let's see if it'll load this time. There you go, right there. And you need to phone in?
Yeah, I'm having problems with this mouse. It's tripping me out. This is backwards.
We have to take this out because we have so many people.
John, I thought there was some
Let's
question.
Let's put that in again. And that'll give me a little bit more.
John, I thought there was some question in here about the dunes.
What about the dunes, sir?
That if they get hit by storm, they can't rebuild.
Curie dunes?
Yeah.
Or you mean
ocean dunes?
Ocean dunes.
That's a well-known fact, sir, based on the lines. They are non-conforming.
Dunes are gone. Yeah. Not all of the dunes, I don't think it would impact, but there are some buildings in the dunes.
There are several that would not be affected, but the majority are.
Well, fortunately, they own enough property, they just shorten all that drive and stuff.
Well, there's other ways to get around this.
Right.
They could apply for a variance from the Coastal Resources Commission. Right. They could apply a variance from the town in relation to our zoning laws. So I wouldn't say it's completely out, but as it stands right now, those buildings are non-conforming, and if they're destroyed over 50%,
right,
they will not be able to be rebuilt in the same location.
Is there some question about getting financing on the buildings because of that?
It has become difficult. We've been playing word games with the mortgage companies on letters.
And yes,
I want to make sure that from the perspective of the town, right, that the town is, we have to be straightforward in our
response. Exactly right. Yeah. No, we should be the debt.
Yeah.
So it's like where the Riggins got in a problem. Right. The town's job is not to help you with finances, tell the truth.
This green light here is what's called the static vegetation line.
Yeah.
You have to measure 60 feet towards the road before you can start building your house. Mm-hmm. Within that area, you can have 500 square feet of freestanding deck, uncovered deck, a pool with 6 feet of deck around it, and a 200 square foot gazebo, all within that area. But as far as the actual structure of that house, it can extend no further towards the ocean than 60 feet from that line. The development line, the way I'm hearing this, is that we'll be able to move it pretty much wherever we want to. We do have what's called our, it comes out on our maps as a building line, and that's our easement line for beach renourishment. It would probably be my suggestion to follow that easement line if we were to go that route. In some areas, those lines coincide almost identically. In other areas, it is much further towards the ocean than that static line. For the static line exception, we will be measuring from what's called the first line of stable natural vegetation. So you'd walk out on the beach, you'd identify the first significant dune line from the water's edge. That will be called the first line of stable natural vegetation. At that point, you can measure 60 feet back towards the road. And as long as that house is no further out than the two houses on either side, they could build up to that 60-foot mark. As you can see, we're not going to have that problem on most of these properties.
Cheryl Smell, I don't think you're old enough to remember that you're in the 70s when that was.
No, I don't think I'm old enough to remember that.
But that used, that land in front of it used to go way out toward the edge.
Oh, yeah.
Because I built two swimming pools out there.
They floated toward the
edge. They disappeared one night.
Well, I'll just show you something else really cool, really quick that's pretty interesting. As the oceanfront shorelines. I don't know if you can see that very well.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know how accurate this is, but it is on this website, and this is what they've given to the general public.
It's pretty accurate.
Yeah,
it looks pretty good. As you can see, there's 1997 after Hurricane Fran and Bertha. I venture to say that's pretty accurate from what I remember.
Yeah.
Just kind of cool. I was looking at it earlier today. Did I explain that? I know it's kind of confusing. It's a hard topic to explain in generality.
Yeah. No, I think you did a good job. So more information to come, we need to put it on our radar. But no action
sure.
In the short term. I think that's
exactly. I've got my eye on it. I found out what they're finally talking about. They've been discussing this in their quarterly meetings, and I don't usually attend those. So they're usually out of town also. Unless you have any other questions.
Have you been following the wetlands legislation from, not legislation, but regulations from EPA?
I have not.
Okay. We were told this past week when we all got together that Congress did not stop that. And so they're going to have a public hearing, I believe, next month. But unless Congress steps in and stops something between now and then, they will be implemented by July.
When you say the wetlands legislation by EPA, wetlands rules, are you saying that applies to our oceanfront also?
It applies to everybody in the country.
Yes, and but Curie Beach actually does not have any wetlands in our jurisdiction.
Well, we don't
not right
have.
Now.
Yeah.
But they're redesignating them in the three things you have to comply with to be a wetland. Now you only have to comply with, you only comply with one and you are designated a wetland.
Yep. Sounds like we're going to have a barrel fun around
here. Yep.
Every one of those open ditches along the coast.
That's right. That's right. It has to do with open ditches and everything. But it sounded like what they would be doing is getting information to you in July. I guess I assume they've been doing mapping, but heaven knows. But you'll have a list that if someone wants to build or renovate somewhere where there appears to be a wetland and it wasn't before, you give them this list and say, okay, now you're required to bring to me this, 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 and this. And one of the things on there could be a review of your property by the Corps of Engineers.
Trout Lane and it's going to be a mess.
So, yeah, that's another one you might want to have fun with for the next few months.
Okay. Commissioner Hagler? So, the mayor and I and Sonny and Arlen met with Carolina Beach for our Sewer Authority annual review of the spending. So last year we got a large amount back thanks to Arlen looking into it. This year we have a smaller amount to pay because of the way the flow rates went over the last year. So remember we set the fees based off the audited spending from the previous year. So that's where we are. And so the big drivers for this change, and the council has a full memo from Arlen who did a great job of capturing the discussion, was really Carolina Beach has done a lot of work to reduce their flows. Their flows actually went down. Three beaches went up, and that drives a lot of the spending. So the actual change, and I make a motion to accept this, the variable cost moved to 78.87 cents per 1,000 gallons. The fixed cost moves to $9,705.17 per month. And capital recovery moves to $3,746.25 per month. We also talked with them about concerns to continued increases, and we should see in the budget Sunny bring in the capital improvement to our system where we can divert more flows to our sewer pond, which we talked about in the late fall last year. So that project's moved up on his list and my list, so you'll see that in the budget process to start working on this issue. This results in a payment to... A payment this year of $42,750.78. Remember last year we got...
Was that just about $400,000?
About $400,000 back, so we're still to the good, I think, but we got to continue to watch this. So I make a motion to accept the fees as approved by the Sewer Authority, which is Dean and myself from Tree Beach, and Steve Shuttleworth and Leanne Pierce from Carolina Beach.
I'll second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner's items, the TDA distribution status. Dan and I have been talking and working and scratching our heads. We met this afternoon with Bill Sappho and Kim, who's in charge of the TDA, and laid out to her what we would like to do. And we'd like to present a letter to TDA at Wednesday's meeting that lets each town take up to 20% of the rollover funds and park it in a fund that TDA is in charge of, so we won't have any, you know, we won't have our hands on the money up to 5 years. And after that, the rollover funds will actually become available to the marketing committee. The reason is that if we have a catastrophic storm, that we will not have enough marketing money to get Tree Beach back on the map as far as advertising goes. Wrightsville Beach is not spending all of their TDA funds, but Carolina Beach and Tree Beach are. So we voted to spend the rest of it this last time. But it'll only be for 5 years what we put the money in today. Like I said, we can pay up to 20% of the monies. And I think it's a good idea.
So I'm looking at what you gave us to review. So I see the note from the deputy county attorney, Kent Burkhoop.
Yeah.
There's something else in here, but I can't tell who it's from. I see who it's to, dear Kim. Who was that from? You know, it's regarding this holdback retaining proposal.
It's from Carolina Beach.
It's from Noel.
Is that from Carolina? He didn't sign it. It's not his letter. Sorry. Okay.
So we get, because during a storm period, we would have less RLT taxes come in. We wouldn't have the money that we need to advertise to tell people we're back. And the way that this will allow us to do that, the way that the TVA set it up initially, without input from any beach town, was that we had to have a, a reason to spend the money. If we try to save any of it, but this kind of lets everybody off the hook. And when we were talking with Kim today, she was for it. Bill, of course, is for it. So they don't mess with his center downtown.
This is for moving forward, right? This is not talking about what we approved in January.
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understand.
This is for the new budget.
And we're going along with what Carolina and Rascal Beach are doing.
Rascal Beach is not spending all of the rollover. They're saving some of it.
Okay.
But both of us, yeah. Same purpose. Both of us are. So Kim kind of hauled around and said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So
are we going to direct the attorney to write something, or are we just going to use the one that they use?
We have written something for them to and all the TVA board members, which spells what I just said, spells it all out. And I have no earthly idea where my copy's at because it was supposed to be in here. It says not in here now.
But so you need a motion to approve? We contact them with that policy? Is that what you're looking for?
That's what I would like, yes.
I make a motion to communicate similar to the Carolina Beach attorney's proposal to the TDA for surety.
As a second.
All in favor, say
aye. Can we ask for a discussion?
Yeah.
Could we also receive a copy of that letter?
It was supposed to be in your packet. What? No, no,
our packet is on here.
Well, it's not in my packet. It's not in my packet. And I handed it.
At the very end.
Okay. Right underneath council or go way back. There you go.
This is here. This is
Carolina. Oh, okay. That's what you gave me was that stuff.
I didn't give you this. David and I just got this.
Well, if we could all just receive a copy.
Yes, we get it. We are presenting it to the TDA Wednesday, so I'll make sure you get a copy. As far as the news goes, they did drive over a manhole cover and shoot up pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we got us vote.
All
in favor? Okay. All in favor?
Aye. All right.
Thank you. The repaving, they should be out here probably in the next week and a half. And since we decided what we're going to do with the crossovers, that should be done. Now, Nancy, do you want me to call them and
try to get
another?
I prefer you let me go through my channels and...
My channel is at the top.
I never go to channel, but I'll do mine. You can do yours.
Just make sure you say the same thing.
Yeah. You have too many little channels. I'm shooting a big channel.
But she gets it done, so.
I feel okay.
That works.
Okay, anything else?
Oh, offices
for town hall. Yeah. Everybody like our the paint scheme? Okay, and we don't have a seal from behind here, but Nancy swears what's coming?
Tomorrow.
Okay. It's beautiful. There we go.
Yeah, the place looks good, Nancy.
It does.
Okay, ready? It feels a bit hot. Make a motion for a closed session for a fire department personnel.
All in favor?
Someone got a second?
Second.
All in favor? Anyone saying aye?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to clarify, because I
Okay, I'll send that to you when I email you.
Sorry.
Oh, that would be perfect.